welcome to episode 10 of
Brutal Battle.
Thank you very much. This is episode 10 of Brutal Battle. It's a special occasion. Is it not, Kyle?
We're double digits, man, and that's crazy.
And that's in the span of just a few months, really. So. Yeah,
we drink a lot and talk too much, and we record it, and it makes episodes good.
So to celebrate this special occasion, we are having a barbecue. Mm-hmm. Kyle has made some brisket and some other things, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But first, we do have a guest with us, and if you would like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Turner Watts, friend of the podcast now, I suppose.
Wonderful. And you're our first guest that doesn't have anything to do with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Had my wife on a few episodes back, and you know, because she knew the beers, she's the one who selects them for us, we weren't allowed to use her numbers that she would give us for the mystery beers. But since Turner doesn't know what they're going to be, we're going to factor in his ratings,
yeah,
which will be awesome.
And if you don't think we should do that, let us know at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. Good, you remember.
Plugging it like a champ, son. I know how we do.
You're plugging that like a light socket.
I'm plugging it like something I'm not going to say.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's going to be, from here on out, guests will vote, and their vote will be counted to nominate the new Master Broverlord.
The Master Broverlord.
That's the name of the...
What is the Master Broverlord?
Master.
Master. Ah,
like the mash.
Got it.
That's like the king beer at the time, which right now our reigning Master Broverlord is Founder's Breakfast Stout.
Okay.
Have you ever had that?
I have not.
It's a good one. If you like stouts, especially ones that have nice coffee presence to them, that's
I do. I've been looking for the Founder's Breakfast Stout.
Yeah, it's weird because they just stopped carrying Founders in Maryland.
Yeah. I'm not sure when that happened, but Pennsylvania has it.
Or just, meaning in the last 10 years.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I've got it here before.
I know Virginia sells it, and I go to Winchester once in a while.
And D.C. I know D.C. has it as well. So that's always good. One real quick thing. Kyle already said something about the email address. Go ahead, send us email, anything. I wanted to bring up, we have a new website. We're moving up in the world.
We are. We are so awesome. We're like emperors of the beer culture because we have a website now. I mean, we're kings.
Kings. I can see that. Kings. And since Turner's here this early on, I think we can call him a duke. Does that sound good? Duke Turner?
Say something else.
That's funny. Accept the duke honor.
Duke Turner, my lord.
Can I be the court jester? That's what I would be, the court jester. Like,
but we're no longer at the Blogspot website. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still maintaining that for anyone who was using it before, but our new primary website is just www.brutalbattle.com. Much easier, just a better site.
Yeah, so it's basically the name of our podcast.com, if you didn't get that.
A lot easier than having to do brutalbattlepodcast.blogspot.com.
That's
just more of a
dot rectum.
Bear with us, because I am personally doing the site, and I am terrible at this kind of stuff.
It looks like a car wreck. It's terrible.
A beer car wreck.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is better than an actual
car wreck. Oh, an alcoholic car accident?
No, not quite. Yeah, so
drunk driving is bad.
We have Turner here, wanted to ask you, Turner, what is your beer taste like? Like, what are your favorite beers? Just name us a few.
Yeah. That's how we intro
people. I think I like stouts a lot.
Okay. Which we can all relate to.
Right. Actually, I just tried Hercules IPA. Have you had that before?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It was double IPA.
It's double IPA, yeah.
Great Divide.
So I have some of that. That's what I have in my fridge right now, so I'm kind of stuck on that. I was really impressed. Let's see here. I like Stone Selection. I see.
Well, then, just saying that, we'll put the rest of the beers that you like on hold, and we're gonna pop this. There is a Stone beer sitting right in front of Turner that he's looking at.
These are celebratory beers.
Yes, celebrating the 10th episode. Mm-hmm. So you showed up at the right time. Turned yes. Perfect. This is where the excitement is.
Good beers, come on.
So I'm actually going to crack this for us, but I'll let everyone know what it is. This is the Stone Brewing Company's Vertical Epic, the 2008. If anyone doesn't know, first, what a vertical is when you have beers from different years that you can stack up against one another and try at the same time, just for comparison. And this was a vertical epic that they did because I believe they started it in 2001 and they put out their first one that was like the 1st of June 2001 and then the next year they put out the 2nd of February of 2002 and then they kept going on until they just ended it in December of 2012. That was their last one. I believe the idea behind it was that all these beers were brewed in a fashion that once the final beer in 2012 came out, you could drink all of them at the same time, and they should all be at their peak. So this one, I only have the 2008. I never got any other ones. I don't know how I just ended up with this. But I figure it's been aged now for like 4.5 years. I guess it should have hit its peak in December. So that's just a few months ago. So I wanted to bring it on. Celebrate, pop it open.
I just want to say I really like the fact that you explained exactly all the whole thing about the vertical and the epic and all that, and we're not doing any of that.
Exactly. I get that. I was like,
you're supposed to do it this way, but we're just drinking it.
Actually, do you have a... This is terrible. I'm not prepared. Do you have a bottle opener?
Uh-oh.
Bottle opener?
Uh-oh. You can run and get the penis.
You know what? I think I can...
Booyah.
He's got this.
It's a little worn now, so make sure you put a lot of pressure on it.
I can do that.
I use it so much.
Maybe for the next episode I'll be prepared.
Alcohol.
This is me not being prepared. I brought the other keys today, and that's what happened.
What kind of beer podcast are there? We don't have a bottle opener.
So I'm going to go ahead and pour for everyone, just a little bit, because if you don't like it, then you don't have to have any more.
We like
it. Well, we should get the heck out of here if we don't like it.
No, oh, we hate most things. We hate a lot of beer.
You guys want to talk about the color already on that?
It looks like...
There you go, Kyle.
Hmm.
Pour a little for myself. That's really light.
Yeah, it's hazy. Got a nice fine carbonation to it. A little bit of lacing going on. Not much, though.
It's like a nice golden color.
Yeah, I'd call this gold. I'd call that gold.
I call this gold!
Mm-hmm. It looks like honey. It's like a luxurious honey.
Take a sniff. I get like this apple-y smell on there. Anyone else get that?
No. Actually, yes.
I agree.
Golden delicious.
It's a little apple. It's a little grapey to me as well, which is odd.
You're just jumping ahead of everyone. You shut up and let us say what we think.
All right, well,
stop throwing out fruits.
Turner, what do you think of this one?
I get papaya.
I mean, just looks and smell at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're right on with the apple. That's really jumping out in the aroma to me.
It smells like apple juice.
So it's definitely a fruity, sweet smell.
I will point out that the top of the cap looks really nasty.
Mm.
I don't know. Do you see that, Kyle?
It looks like a rectum. That's the second time I've said
that. Doesn't that look bad?
Oh, boy. Is this an unfiltered beer?
I don't know. Let me take a read.
I like that.
Let me read about this.
Let me fill the silence by talking nonsense. No, not really. You stop.
It is
handing your off mic woman beer.
It's supposed to be very, very dry.
She's not allowed any.
It's supposed
you
to be
sit
dry.
There and eat and be quiet.
Creamy, fruity, estuary.
See, this is what we should do. Well,
crisp
I guess
bitterness.
We should read the bottles because they describe
them. Well, I don't want to give too much away at this point because we haven't tasted yet.
What are your feelings on beers that do that? At beers that describe their own beer on the bottle. Do you like that? Is that a turn on, turn off? Does that get you horny?
I think it's appropriate.
You think it is?
From a marketing standpoint. You don't want people to go into a beer not knowing what they're going to have. Not in this day and age.
Do you think they kind of feel like they're full of themselves? Like, this is going to be this. No? That's just that kind of
I think Turner had something. He can jump.
Here are my thoughts on when breweries put detailed description of the beer on there. I think that it alters your feelings on the beer. I don't like them to put too much on there because I want to be able to taste it and form my own opinion without having guidelines, I suppose.
Yeah, we're all about blind.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And that's good for... I'm sorry, I'm eating brisket that Kyle made.
Yeah.
That's good for people like us who like to try, like, mystery beer. Mm-hmm. Like I've said before, I'm a I'm the ticker type person, that I'm going to try any beer because then I can add it to my list of beers tried. But I can definitely see where there are people who need to have everything spelled out for them on a beer because they only like certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, if they're trying to branch out, it's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah.
But if it's someone like us, yeah, maybe we wouldn't want to ruin, you know, go in thinking, oh, it's got to taste like this.
But it's also good for someone like me because there are times where I'm in a certain mood.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I want to know what I'm reaching for. Like if I want like a vanilla stout.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to say on there that it's a vanilla stout.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just, you know.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And this is what I was thinking of. When I go in, when my wife and I are looking for wines, because we're always trying different wines, like we always read what it says on the label, always. And we're like, oh, this one sounds good because it's got, you know, oakiness or cherry finish or whatever. So I guess, I think from a wine standpoint, I really enjoy it because we usually don't. Otherwise, it's just a shot in the dark because who sits around and reads wine reviews? I mean, unless it's the varietal, you really don't have much else to go off besides the price, so.
True.
Yeah, I like that.
I was just about to say when my fiancé, I hate that word, by the way.
Fiancé.
I didn't like it either. I never used it.
Drink all beers with pinkies.
When we choose our wine by the price, so
mm-hmm.
That's the first thing we look at.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some really nice wines out there that are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Really good bang for your buck. Like, I've had wines before that are like $10 a bottle that rival $60 a bottle wines. I mean,
2008 Casalero del Diablo Carminier is $9.99, and it is amazing.
Is that Castle of the Devil?
It's, I think it's Cellar of the Devil.
Oh, Cellar of the Devil.
I think. Perfect.
Oh, well, it looks like you guys have maybe tried the beer already. What do you think?
Yeah, we're done. I'm half lit already. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I really like it.
I like it. It's good.
It makes me wonder what it would taste like unaged.
That apple flavor, that is, I think it's more in the aroma than it is in the in the taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, it's kind of flat.
It's kind of a fine combination.
I'm going to be honest, the flavor I get on it and the food that I just ate may have something to do with changing my taste buds, but the flavor I get on it is kind of like a pear, like a little bit of like an Anjou pear flavor to it, which is weird.
I don't know, because these baked beans, I made baked beans too, they have apple pie filling in them. Right. So I thought that would accentuate any apple notes, but I'm not really getting anything.
Well, if it's not really strong in the beer... If you like eat something first that has that flavor, you're not going to perceive it as much.
Yeah, that's true.
In what you have afterwards, unless it's much stronger.
That is true. I like that it's that. I think from the aging, it has that kind of not syrupy, but it has kind of like a thicker mouthfeel to it. Definitely.
I guarantee that when this beer was freshly brewed, it was a lot thinner in the mouthfeel. It is a lot thicker right now. Like you said, a little bit syrupy-ish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something I noticed about Stone's beers, they have a distinct, I'm going to say a bitter taste, a bitter aftertaste that I'm getting with this
clangs.
Vertical Epic here.
That's my universal word for something that just doesn't sit right with my palate. Yeah, it clangs a little bit at the end. I don't know another way to put it. Clang, 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 that's their beer.
So overall, I mean, if we were going to rate this beer, which... It's not going to be an official contender for the Master Overlord title.
I'm up on that pear a little bit now.
You getting the pear now? No, I'm not crazy. That's good. But if we're going to rate this, what would you guys give it?
We do out of 10. So it's just from 1 to 10.
Or a 10-point scale.
I would put it at a 6.
That's what I was thinking. 6.
You put that 6?
Yep. I like it.
I'd go 4.
I'd sit here and drink this.
Honestly, go
definitely.
4 on that.
I like it.
I might have a little biased. I've been to Stone Brewery before.
Oh, you have?
And I have, and they have
that's awesome.
They have a great setup there. My fiance and I, we had lunch there when we were visiting San Diego. And I had a chance to try some of their beers, and my I might have a little biased because I like the brewery, but all in all, I think it's a good beer, not great.
Have you had any other of the verticals?
I haven't. No, this is the first vertical I've had.
Well, now that we've actually tasted this, did you have any other beers that you wanted to talk about that you particularly like? Actually, any that you've had recently? Also ones that you want to caution people against that you hate?
Well, see here. I'm not particularly. I had a Beta. Have you had a Beta Light before? Not a Beta Light.
I haven't had the Light.
Purple Haze. Have you had that before?
Yes.
It's kind of popular. Some people. It's an unfiltered beer. Horrible.
Yeah.
Is there like a raspberry
flavor? I don't like a Beta.
Yeah, it was. I think I may have had one or two others from a Beta, but this one stands out because it was so bad. It had like an artificial. It tasted like raspberry cough syrup. Terrible. Terrible. So that's one that sticks out as a bad beer that I've had lately. But or as good beers, like I mentioned the Hercules IPA, I really enjoyed that. I think Sam Adams' new spring beer, the Alpine Spring, if we're talking about a mass produced but still a microbrewery, I think it was a good beer.
Cool.
Yeah, I haven't had any.
Well, since we've all finished the little bit that we tried of the Stone beer, we also have some other beers because this is the 10th episode. This is a celebration.
Yes.
So
we're celebrating good time.
We're drinking a bunch of beers and eating the food.
Yeah, food and
so
beer.
So, Kyle, did you want to pick one of the two beers that are there? Because both of these were provided by you.
Well,
tell us about it.
The reason I picked
for it,
I have, and I'm going to butcher the heck out of this name because it's... I'm going to say Echt Schlenferle Rausch beer. I mean, I know it's a Rausch beer.
Right.
But Echt Schlenferle.
Get that phlegm going.
Yeah, it's the Marzen. But the reason I picked this is because it's literally like liquid barbecue. It tastes like liquid beef jerky.
Mm, all right.
Well, it is so smoky and meaty and...
Do us a favor and pour it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pour it for us.
Because I have... You want one of You want a little piece of my meat?
Yeah, I'll some here to eat, Kyle.
I need
We're eating a little bit as we record.
Yeah, we're trying to...
Trusty bottle open.
So while I'm doing this, maybe I can talk about what I made.
Yeah, talk about it.
Mind if I steal a piece of your meat?
Yes, please steal my meat.
Thank you.
Keep it.
Do
whatever you...
Should I pour a little bit of the beer on the meat?
I think you should pour it down your chest. That's what you should do. Man, this thing is worn out. I got a whole brisket, and I smoked it for about 20 hours using... I normally like to use hickory and oak wood, but I ran out of oak, so I used hickory and con.
You want me to pour?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Hickory
and and I also... So I have brisket slices, and I made burn ends out of the point, because I love burn ends, and they're really good. I made my own barbecue sauce. It's got ketchup, chili sauce, a little bit of apple cider vinegar, lemon juice, some spices. And I made my famous baked beans, which I mentioned earlier, with the apple pie filling and the sausage and the bacon.
Which I will say, I hate baked beans, and I love these baked beans.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite recipes.
They're really
honestly.
Good.
I love them.
I was floored.
And I also made bacon braised kale. It's hard to say. Which has Frank's hot sauce and apple cider vinegar in it. And it's just cook it down until it gets nice and soft, and it's good.
I was very impressed with the kale, Kyle. It was very good.
Kale's really something that's hard to get people to like, if they've never had it before, especially. Because it's such like an irony thing that people are just like, it's like seaweed, it's gross, but you did a good job with that.
And one thing I've learned from cooking is if you add bacon, hot sauce, and vinegar to something, it usually makes it taste good. So that's how I came up with that recipe.
You add bacon, hot sauce, and vinegar to apple pie. That make it better?
Yeah, that's... Actually, I like to put it in my banana pudding. You know? I like vinegar in my banana pudding. It's really good. And Frank's and banana goes together really well. Especially with the vanilla wafers. Anyway.
I smelled the beer. It smells like butt.
Yeah. Smells like butt?
Yeah, it does not smell good.
Oh, yeah. It has kind of like that tinny smell. Like the kind of smell of like the bottle cap. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, it does have that smell.
Or some cans.
Yeah, cans, exactly. It's like got that metallic smell to it.
It has a earthy, very earthy smell.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. I'm picking up on the smokiness.
It's kind of like a campfire thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the coloration is probably what everyone would think it is. It's brown, but it's kind of like, it's not quite as brown as like a brown ale. It's just a tad bit lighter than that, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's like a soft brown.
It's like molasses, kind of,
I
think. I
think it's fair.
Just a little bit about this. My brother did like a beer pairing dinner at his house, and he wanted to use this and couldn't get it up there, so he bought a case of it and we split it. So I have a ton of these things, and they are not your typical beer size either. These are, oh, 1 pint. So, yeah, they're actually a real pint. So, not your fancy 12 ounce.
I jumped ahead and tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm feeling a little overzealous.
Is that not liquid barbecue?
I've had, I understand where it definitely goes with what we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense because the nice smokiness of the brisket with, there is a smoky presence with this beer. Overall, it's not a beer that I'm like huge on because I'm typically not a Marzen style person. But if this were like a straight Marzen style, I would probably dump it. Since it has the Rausch beer aspects to it, since it mm-hmm. is a Rausch beer, and it's got that kind of smokiness to it, I am inclined to continue drinking it because I yeah. like smokiness in my beer.
Me too.
That's so what that kind of, you know, puts me in the middle, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like it. I have not had a smoky beer before. And,
never had a Rausch beer.
I have not. I think it's really good. It's not something I would want to sit down and have a whole six-pack of. But
no, yeah, gosh. It definitely wears on you a little bit.
One or two, I think it's a really nice beer.
This is good, like I said, good campfire. Like, take it camping. I kind of would go with the whole smoky outdoors kind of meat.
Yeah,
no, bros in the wilderness kind of thing.
It would fill in the ambiance for sure.
Uh-huh.
It really would.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it because it's a Rausch beer. I honestly don't know much about Marzen as a style, so that kind of is lost on me.
To me, it's like it's just a throwaway style.
Is it?
I feel like it's, I mean,
I know they make a Marzen, they make a something, they make, I think, two or three of this beer in, mm-hmm. you know, one's a Marzen, one's a, I don't know, I can't remember what the other ones were, but I just get it because it's a Rausch beer, and I love smoked beers, personally.
Well, Turner, since you haven't had any smoked beers before, if you like a smokiness, and you want to try a beer that's got a lot of smoke to it, just to see what it's like, I don't know if it's available at this time, but Victory Brewing Company, they had a beer in a 750 milliliter bottle, so like a wine bottle.
Okay.
It was called Otto, O-T-T-O, and it's got a picture of like some wood on fire on the front. Very smoky.
Okay. Yeah,
probably the smokiest beer I've ever had.
That is the smokiest beer I've ever had.
You have to be in the right mood for it,
yeah.
knowing what you're going into, and you have to be prepared for just like crazy smoke.
Mm-hmm.
When I had it, I was prepared, and I really enjoyed it, but kind of one of those beers, I don't know, you can drink more than, like, one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a, buy one, try it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Stone Smoke Porter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stone Smoke, yeah, that's right.
Yes. I'm
surprised you haven't had that if you're a big Stone fan. I like Stone Smoke Porter a lot, actually. That's probably one of the only Stone beers I like.
No, I'm... Let me see if you think the same thing.
Which, I guess.
Typically smoked porters, I feel like they have this kind of like salty aspect to them as well.
Yeah.
Which to some people, just talking about it, just sounds kind of nasty.
Yeah.
But
I know
it's
what you
good.
Mean. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good. Like, I love kind of salty, smoky porters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you getting as much the saltiness in this one, though? Not really picking up on
I didn't get any. I got no... I'm going to try it again, though.
Yes, please. Drink more.
It's just that smokiness.
No, yeah. I'm only getting the smoke and then, of course, like, kind of light malt to it. It's not heavy malt. It's just like a light malt.
I'd equate this more to like a beef jerky thing than a barbecue thing. But it's definitely got that campfire thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's got
definitely
like
doesn't.
Notes
actually,
of maybe like Worcestershire or soy sauce, something like that.
Yeah.
The more I drink it, the more I get, like, the smoke's starting to become more and more as I'm drinking it.
Like, I drink a whole pint of this. I drank a whole pint of this a couple days ago. Like, the whole shebanger.
I could do it, but then I gotta move on.
It doesn't have that sweet smell, that sweet taste that you would get for a barbecue flavor.
Yeah,
it's just,
right, yeah.
It's just the smokiness.
Yep.
Just the smoke.
Killed it.
How's that one? That one's good.
That one is good. I do like that. But that, again, that is a beer I have to be in the mood for. Because I've poured one out. I've poured one and then been like, ew. And I just dumped the whole pint because I just did not want to drink it.
Yeah.
And I know how you hate that. But sometimes I'm not going to force myself to drink something.
No, I mean, well, you know, like I've said before, I have that Beer of the Month Club and it The first shipment didn't do so well, so
I feel so bad for you.
I dumped two beers. Jeez. I was trying them, and I dumped two beers in the span of like 5 minutes. Oh, so, I'm sorry, you know, man. It happens. Have you ever had beers that you dumped?
Oh,
during?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm part of a tasting thing we do once a week, and we've tasted a whole bunch of beers. I'm drawing blanks, thinking of ones that I like, because I've had so many lately, but on several occasions, like the Purple Haze, for instance, dumped that. And there's been others that I just didn't like, so I don't have any problem dumping a beer out.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I think that just kind of says that you don't really drink for effect so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you do, you still have standards.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like, I just can't drink garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had someone who came over to my house the other night. He showed up carrying a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which Kyle's okay with.
No.
He's a fan, kind of.
It's one of the few light beers I can stomach. Which is weird, because it's like the lightest of the light beers.
Well, and like I've said about beers like that before, that's fine for something if you're like outside and it's hot and you're on a boat or something, because you stay hydrated too, because there's so much water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such like watered-down beer, so you can kind of... Yeah. Get the effect you're going for, and get hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, sometimes I'll go over to my friends' houses that aren't cultured in beer, and I'll just dump their generic Bud Lights. Just dump it out. Go in the fridge, crack a few.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, Tara, what are you doing in the kitchen? Oh, I'm just dumping out
your
beer. It's cool.
They don't know, but you're helping.
Mass-produced beer.
You're helping them by doing that. They don't think so, but you're helping.
That's
awesome.
I went through my fridge and I was like, because I accumulate so much beer from having barbecues and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, we have
Rebecca's bringing the mystery beers down already, which is awesome. We'll be able to have them sit in front of us. And before we even get to those, though, we're also going to have another celebratory beer that Kyle has.
We're just going to get hammered and drunk.
No, you're good with time.
And in case we haven't made this clear, we're recording multiple episodes today.
Yes.
So, but I did want to bring up, I would like to talk about your little beer project thing in the next episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? So I just didn't want to forget.
Yeah. Turner will be sticking with us for a few more episodes.
Yeah.
So
I want to talk about that.
He'll actually be the focus of the next one.
Yes.
Because he homebrews. So
yes.
Just a little teaser
mm-hmm.
for the next episode.
A little teaser.
You've been teased.
I'm here all weekend, so.
The last beer I have quite a story about. My wife and I do a little trip every year for our anniversary. Our second anniversary, we went to San Francisco, and then stayed there for a couple days and went up into wine country in Napa and Sonoma. So I knew Lagunitas was there and Russian River was there, so we went to both. And that's when I discovered that, or I finally had a Russian River's... wine barrel aged sour beers. So I brought home three bottles of Consecration, which was my favorite, drank them all, and then my brother realized that they distribute to Philly, and he lives right outside of Philly in Lancaster. So he got a case, paid out the nose for it, gave me a couple. So luckily, I feel... You guys should be honored that you're in the presence of this beer, because it is literally the best beer I've ever had in my life. And I'm giving it that.
I am so excited to try the Russian River.
It is my favorite beer ever.
So don't hit me if I don't say it's the most amazing one I've had.
Should we back it up a little bit and give a rating to the Rausch beer?
Oh, definitely.
So
yeah.
I'm
going to let
10.
Things get away from us. We're all over the map.
Yeah,
that the Rausch beer, the Acht Schlenferia Rausch beer.
Yeah, the Schlenferia Rausch beer.
Yeah. Turner, if you want to take the lead on that, what would you give that one?
You know, I think I'm going to give it a 7, because I've never had a smoked beer, and I liked it. So,
okay.
That's my reasoning.
Admirable.
Terrific.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think I'm going to give it a 5, because I do love it, but it's so situational that I think, you know, it's not one you can go to again and again and again, but for the right situation, it is an excellent brew.
And I actually think I'm going to tag a 3 on it. I respect the smokiness of it, but like I said before, I'm not a Marzen-style person.
Haters gonna hate.
It's just the Marzen flavor is there for me.
Okay, yeah,
and
see.
It reminds me of everything I don't like about Marzen beers. But it has a smokiness, that's why I didn't give it like a 1 or something. Because the smokiness somewhat is redeeming. So, I'd say that. So you wanna continue on with this consecration right here?
Yeah, man.
We're like rapid fire, so excited. Just like beers, beers, beers.
And look, we haven't drank half of the ones we have opened, so we got a lot of drinking to do, boy.
Well, maybe on the next few episodes we can just finish them off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Just as you like them.
Okay, so this is, you know, what do they call this? Is this a specific...
cork?
I know it's a cork, but I mean, is this like...
There's a cork in the beer?
There's a special name for
that. Is there a name for like the certain type of bottling? I mean, I know they do this with a lot of Belgian beers, but...
Corkifying?
See if you can hear it, everyone.
Corkifying?
I don't know. Oh, Yahtzee!
I have a feeling that's going to sound good audio-wise.
Yeah, it probably just blew out somebody's speakers. Oh my gosh. Hope. Consecration is, and I'll read the... It is ale aged in Cabernet Sauvignon barrels with currants added and re-fermented in this bottle. Sour ale, barrel aged, 4 to 8 months. Man, my nipples are erect with excitement.
Verified.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. I'm peeking. I got anthills going on here. Alright, so I will do myself the honor first, because screw you guys.
Hey, when you pour mine, don't pour a ton, because if I'm not huge on it, I don't want to be wasting. You know what I mean?
I will drink
just
it.
Just give a little bit.
I will drink it, because this is literally my favorite.
Like, that's probably good.
Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
Look at the color. The color is gorgeous.
It is a nice... I mean, that's a nice...
Very super clear,
it's
no
nice,
haziness
like,
whatsoever.
Reddish brown to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deep copper.
Yeah, yes. I'd definitely say that's,
deep,
that's
deep,
right.
Deep cover.
Is it nice?
All right. Definitely. I think, I wonder if the currants blend their color to the beer. Mm. Oh my god, the smell.
Nose.
Oh.
I'm getting that currant right away in the aroma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It smells like victory.
Smells like victory.
Wow.
Smells like...
That is... I've never had anything like this. This is...
Oh. Is this the first sour beer you've ever had?
No, I've had sour beers, but this is different. This
will destroy all of them. I'm just going to say that right now.
One of its own.
Ooh. Well, that's a...
It drinks like a wine. My God. I haven't had this in like a year.
Hmm.
Oh.
I mean, I do enjoy it. I will say that. I enjoy it. This, I don't think it's at the pinnacle where... You know,
that's,
Kyle
yeah,
places it, but that's fine. I can see why
like
he likes it this much.
The best liquid I've ever put in my face.
Better than rubbing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Or peroxide.
Mm.
And it, you know, it's got the sourness to it. It's got that.
It's got the sourness.
Tad
got the
bit of the vinegary.
Very thin,
tinge.
Fine carbonation. It's just, yeah, it's got a little vinegar to it. Oh, gosh.
Well, I mean, the carbonation's like champagne-y.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's
exactly.
Like a
yep.
It's not as constant as like when you open champagne. It's not like the constant bubble, but it's the carbonation is so fine that it's like that. Well, okay. Technically sparkling white. You're not supposed
yes.
to say champagne.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Unless it's from Champagne region in France.
Mm-hmm. Get real fancy with it. It goes very well with the kale, with the apple cider vinegar.
What is the alcohol
yeah.
content? Oh,
right.
10%.
That's 10%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you notice that at all? This could be 3%.
I don't get any alcohol. That's why I was asking.
Nope. It's so
usually,
interesting.
Usually
yeah.
when you get to 10%, you get that, you know, you can suck in a little air and you can get that alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Ugh.
Well, it's all about how well does the brewery do it, you know?
Right.
I'm talking with my mouth full, so.
I think it's and I'm sorry to rave about this beer, but it's kind of liberating because we've hated on so much in our first 9 episodes. We haven't had a chance to really be like, oh. And this beer for me is that. It epitomizes that feeling.
Kyle and I were talking off air about Russian River, actually, and I was asking, did you try the you know, Piney, the Elder? They're popular beers. And he said, yeah, but I wasn't. I think that's overrated.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you were more talking about their other selections.
Yeah. The sours, the wine barrel aged sours, just
yeah.
I'd never had anything like that, so it took me by surprise. But it, I mean, just the level of craftsmanship. I mean, I'm trying to think, there's Damnation, Consecration, Supplication, and one other one.
Subtraction.
I think there were 4.
Division.
I think it was Multiplication. I think
Multiplication.
Yeah, Multiplication. But Yeah, yeah. Pliny the... I always get them mixed up. Pliny the Younger is the one the year-round. Pliny the Elder... No. Pliny the Elder is the year-round one.
Right.
Pliny the Younger is the
right
specialty, whatever. Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, I had nothing against it, but people raved like it's the second coming of Christ, and it was just like... It was just a good double IPA.
Well,
I liked it, but...
Yeah. What happens is it gets Beer Advocate when they promote something. It goes... People go
through the roof,
crazy for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the Dark Lord...
Yeah,
that thing.
I've heard that that's by Three Floyds.
Yeah,
Dark Lord, and that's like a once a year ordeal.
Yeah,
and I hear that people
day,
go totally nuts for it.
Dark
it's kind of overrated.
Day or something.
I hear it's good, but it's gotten such this cult following that it's
mm-hmm.
kind
right.
of gotten out of control.
Just as an example, I was with some friends doing a little winter camping in Vermont. Very cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were on our way back, and we wanted
You're
to.
Insane.
We wanted to see if we could get some of the Heady Topper by Alchemist Brewery, because you can only get it in Vermont. And I called a couple of places that were supposed to carry it, and they laughed at me. They said, we get that on Tuesday, and it's sold out by noon. So, and it went to number one on Beer Advocate. So, you know, I'm sure it's great beer, but, you know, that just shows you how people choose their beers based on...
It gets to a point where it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, and let me pose this question to you guys. Do you think that when a beer becomes harder to find, when it gets good ratings and then it becomes harder to obtain, does that kind of, like, drive the cult following behind it? Does that make
course.
It so much more?
Absolutely.
The mystique, the mysterious, you know, it kind of rides on its own coattails, kind of. You know, it's just...
Well, then here's a follow-up question on that. Anyone who's kind of then feeds into that and it's just like, oh man, I hear this thing's amazing, but it's so hard to get a hold of. It must be great. And then they finally get one and they try it. Do you think that they can't possibly be trying it with like a fresh perspective? You know, like it's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
To what degree do you think part of what they're going to taste is psychosomatic?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, oh, this is the greatest beer. I paid $15 for it. I had to go to great lengths to get it. Of course it's the greatest beer in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a, you know.
People are going to convince themselves of
mm-hmm.
what they want it to be.
Are
I mean,
you, that's... Are you subtly inferring that because I had to go to San Francisco to get this,
please.
You bastard?
No.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm impressed that you didn't jump on the Piney the Elder and Younger bandwagon.
But like I said, it was good. I mean, I liked it, but it was forgotten. Because, I mean, when you get the tasting thing there, it's all their beers. It's like 18 little freaking glasses. So I was kind of overwhelmed, and I actually wrote all my ratings on a napkin there, right there in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But yeah, once I had the sour aged, I just forgot about everything else, basically.
But more than anything, I think you, Kyle, are a person that walks to the beat of your own drum when it comes to beer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you're the type of person who will have sworn allegiance to any brewery.
No.
You know, there are people out there who are like, I love this brewery and I love everything by them. I think to a degree I'm like that with Duclaw because it's so close and I've been into it for so long that, you know, I'm going to some beers that might not be that great. Or I think I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to maybe think they're better than they actually are. But you are not that kind of person.
Mm-mm.
You're a lot harsher in the way that you look at each individual beer.
Yeah, just because I know what the brewer can do doesn't really affect... Like, I love Dogfish Head, but... Oh, God.
Wait, not a good track record on our show.
Yeah. Oh,
at
my
all.
God.
Some
of their beers are disgusting.
Yeah.
Like that blue and... What was it? Black and blue or blue and red?
Oh, that was Dogfish Head.
Isn't that what I said?
You said flying. Did
you
say flying dogs?
No, I think you said dogfish.
Oh, okay. You said dogfish.
Well, they're similar in the way they try crazy things, and that's not necessarily, you know.
Festina Pesh. Oh, God.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Terrible.
The Festina Pesh is terrible.
Horrible beer.
The Tweezenail is terrible. The
black and blue or whatever it was. It tasted like cough medicine. It was disgusting.
But then you get them on the other side. Yeah. And like you said before, the 60-minute IPA is awesome.
90, 120, Sati is amazing. I love Sati.
I think the Theobroma is a really good
Theobroma's
beer.
Theobroma's excellent.
The Midas Touch is a really
Midas
good
Touch
beer.
Is good.
How about the, what do you like? Do you guys like the Raisin Diatra?
Raisin Diatra?
Diatra, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think it's a pretty good beer.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Probably one of the best beers I've had, I had from them. And it was a collaboration beer. I think I may have talked about it before. Repetoir.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had, like, all these crazy ingredients. It was like tasting a garden, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So
actually, I could talk about this more on the next podcast. My inspiration for my homebrew that I did over Christmas break was from a collaboration at Dogfish Head when I was down there. So they come up with some really good beers.
Cool.
Chocolate lobster?
Right, yeah.
God, I had that in Rehoboth. I just about pooped myself.
You say chocolate lobster?
Choc lobster is the name of the beer, yeah. It's a chocolate lobster stout.
I've never heard of that.
Like
an
oyster
stout? Okay.
They use oyster shell, but they use lobster shells in it.
Interesting.
It was really good. Yes. God, it was good. It's got like briny, oceany kind of thing with the chocolate. Like it was like a kind of like a, not salty, but like the hint of the salt and the flavor of the ocean. Like the, not a seafoody taste per se, but just like more of a fresh. It was just really, really interesting. Very, very good. That was the best beer I had when I was there.
Well, do you guys think that these three beers that we just had, that they've gone pretty well with the food?
Yeah. I would like, and I meant to say this with the Rausch beer, like a cheese, like a good nutty cheese or something like that with that smoked beer, I think would be.
Yeah.
And I think cheese would go really good with this too, actually.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what would you guys rate the Consecration?
10.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I expected that.
11.
Turner, your thoughts?
I liked it a lot. I don't know. Again, I would have to be in the mood. I couldn't just pull this out of the refrigerator and, I'd have to build myself up for it. I want a sour beer, kind of like the smoked beer. But I would give it a 6. I'd say.
6. Uh-huh. Actually, that's interesting because that's the number that I had in my mind.
Yeah.
Not being a person who's huge on sours, but respecting the way that it was crafted, I do think it's good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
6 as well.
I would like to try a mimosa with it, perhaps.
Oh, there you go.
Interesting.
I don't know if you want to have that much to spare, but it's so close to a champagne. I feel like it might be good.
Yeah, you could do that.
Or you could never ever mix that with anything. I will cut you. You nutball. What are you talking about? Mimosa.
Well, I'm envisioning that we can just drink the rest of these beers over the next few episodes that we do. But
moaning over here.
We do have the two mystery beers in front of us currently, and I want to give us enough time to fully go through these and just talk, and if we have anything.
How are we doing on
after
time?
After that, then. We're at like 42 minutes thus far, so.
Perfect.
You know, I say start into beers A and B right now, rate them and reveal them, and let's do all that.
Alrighty.
Cool. So,
yes, ma'am.
We got A in front of us right now.
Yeah, A.
It's got a bit of a head to it, which would insinuate to me there's some nice hoppiness.
Yes.
Fingers crossed.
Ooh, smells a little. Wow, I get a weird kind of like soap thing going on.
Well, I mean, the coloration, what are you seeing in the color? That's like a Budweiser type color.
Yep.
It really
exactly.
is.
Pilsner.
Yeah. Very clear.
Light gold, hay kind of thing.
Pilsner lager style.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
Yeah, lager.
I
just can't shake this flowery kind of like, this reminds me of like hand lotion or something.
What kind of hand lotion? Jergens?
Jergens. We looked at each other. Jergens, obviously.
Jergens.
No. Like, it's kind of like a grandmother, like florally kind of, she sprays it on to go to
potpourri.
Sunday church kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not too happy with the floral nose.
Yeah, I'm not getting any sort of specific smell out of it, but you were correct with floral notes. Maybe like a, it's not very prominent, but a slighter undertone of citrusiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just got that as soon as you said it. Maybe like a tangerine
like
or like a blood orange or something like that. Something, not orange, but something similar.
In the citrus family.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think orange or tangerine is right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about.
Yeah. It's not really a grapefruit.
No. It's sweet.
No.
It's definitely sweeter.
Because grapefruit is so aggressive.
Yeah.
It's such a, like, an aggressive smell. Which is my bread and butter. When
maybe
it
like
comes
a clementine. That's what I'm thinking. Clementines are really sweet.
Yeah, clementines are pretty subdued.
Mm.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's starting to grow on me, honestly. I'm losing more of the floral now that it's opening up a bit, and I am kind of getting more of the citrus kind of smell to it.
Know.
And, all right.
All right, you guys want to.
Cheers, ladies.
Oh, let's actually cheers.
Woo-hoo.
Cheers.
All right.
It's a 10 episode.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Okay.
There's
Not a whole
Talk
lot.
Talk about flat. That's very flat.
That's flat.
That's very flat to me. Yeah, I've barely got any carbonation at all.
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
This is like the homebrew I did. And I'll talk about that.
This tastes like
episode.
A failed home, like a first attempt at homebrewing. It really does.
I like the aroma though. I was getting
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It was a good aroma, and then it's just fell on its face.
Honestly, that's been a trend with our show. It's yes. we'll get the nose, and we're like, oh man, it's got all these interesting, and then we'll drink it, and be like, what the hell is this?
Is
yeah,
it?
It's like it all disappears, it all doesn't work.
You know, it's not the worst beer I've had. It's not the worst beer
no.
we've tasted on the show.
No.
But it's just...
It has like an assailing bitterness to it, but not yeah. a good hoppy bitterness, like something's
right.
wrong bitterness.
It's got like an absent hops bitterness. It's like
yeah.
the bitterness you get from hops, but you don't get any of the flavor of the hops with it. So...
Zero mouthfeel. I mean, it's a slightly creamy, but I wouldn't even really chalk that up as a bonus at this point.
It does have that bitterness that sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
The mouthfeel.
The finish
is
pretty rough.
Yeah,
the alcohol on it, it's astringent.
Yeah, and I get like a pithy.
It's just really, the alcohol really lingers in your mouth
mm-hmm.
after you taste
it. It does,
it
burns, like the burn.
Yeah, it has a strong mouthfeel to it.
And it's not a heavy beer.
It doesn't finish clean.
No, not at all.
And yeah, it's not a heavy beer. It's not like a barley wine or something
yeah, exactly.
where you can kind of expect that at the finish. It's...
You'd think the brewer would, with a body this light, you'd think the brewer would want like a neutral finish just so you could drink it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it leaves you with this, bitterness. You don't want to go back for more.
Not well rounded.
Mm-mm. No, I don't like
that
at all.
I'm drinking some water to kind of cleanse.
A, you disappoint me. Wherever you are. Watch it be my favorite. Watch
yeah.
it be like something that's awesome.
Dear beer,
you need a palate cleanser here, I think.
Yeah, you need water? There's Doritos.
Yeah,
there's
Dorito.
Yeah. Right. Dorito. There you go.
Doritos, Fritos, palate cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so...
Or some taco dip. We got taco dip.
Not so hot on that.
Terrible.
Let's jump into B. What are we seeing with B here?
B actually looks... Well, I can't... I can't see it.
Well, there's a few clear areas
we
in
have,
the glass.
We have frosted glasses with different
yeah.
colored
there's
globes on them. Yeah. It looks a lot like Consecration, actually.
Yeah, it does. It's got that same kind of like reddish-brownish
mm-hmm.
coloration.
Yep. Very fine carbonation.
It's a nice color.
Smell cherry immediately.
Yeah.
And there's that very slight banana-y-ness
yeah,
to
you
it.
Always note that, but I think it's validated.
I'm very good at picking that.
Is this a... yeah.
It smells like maraschino cherry juice.
I get that banana bubblegum flavor.
Yes.
Aroma.
Yep. You know what? He had said bubblegum on a beer some episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't get it, but I
yeah.
definitely
yeah.
get
Gumball.
It on this one.
Yeah.
Gumball.
You are correct. That's so odd. It's... Wow. Yeah.
Cherry. I'm thinking maybe even like red raspberry.
Hmm.
But like not a real one, like the can, like a candy, like a gummy candy, like that kind of red raspberry.
Okay,
so
artificial
thing.
Flavoring,
yeah, exactly.
Basically.
Cloying.
Yeah.
Definitely got a cloying sweetness to it in the nose.
Yeah.
And this is going to be one of those weird ones that either tastes exactly like it smells, or we're not going to get any of this in the taste at all.
I'm going to say we're not going to get any of it.
That really smells like fruit candy.
You guys just want to go ahead? Let's cheers it again.
Cheers again.
Cheers it again. Episode 10. Way to go, fellas. All right. Tastes exactly how it smells. All right.
I'm getting it.
Yeah.
I got that banana-iness. I'm getting the fruity...
Is this a... Is this a double?
This could be a double.
Is it?
This could be a double IPA.
No, not double IPA. A double. Double.
Oh.
Brazilian.
D-U-B-B-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
Like double like that?
Belgian.
It has,
could.
A lot of that caramelized malt to get that
yes,
sweetness.
Yes, caramel, definitely. Yep.
I agree with that. Great assessment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very sweet. God, how can
yeah.
you drink this?
Yeah, there's a lot of sweetness on that.
You getting any maple in there? I'm not talking like log cabin. I'm talking like real maple, like the canned kind.
No, not quite.
No maple? I get a little maple.
This is definitely the type of beer that you're going to have on its own.
Is there a cinnamon? Is there getting a little spicy sweet in there at all?
Let me try that.
Am I just crazy? Maybe.
Cinnamon?
There,
I can see where you're coming from, like
yeah.
a fall spices kind of thing. Maybe
yes.
like A little bit of allspice.
Just a little spicy sweet.
Cinnamon.
I might be overthinking it, but
I can see it. Not like a strong cinnamon.
No, it's not. It's definitely not strong, but
more subdued, like kind of cinnamon stick.
Maybe like Mexican cinnamon. I know that like big brittle one.
It might not even be cinnamon. I'm picking up a little spiciness, spicy sweet.
Definitely fall. I get now that you're putting that in my mind, I'm thinking more of like a fall flavor profile.
Yeah.
Taste. I don't know. This last sip I took, it tastes like something I've had.
All right, I'm having a real brain fart. What's the step between double, double, and quad?
Triple.
I literally was sitting here like, what the hell? What is
the
other
one? One, two, four. What is in there?
Is this called multiplication? This is Russian River multiplication.
You can atomify.
I said it was a brain fart. Don't you make fun of me.
There's something. Oh man, there's some sort of flavor in there that.
Here's a question.
Very
for
familiar
you.
To me, but it's not like related to beer.
Is this domestic or imported? Do you think?
Hmm. I don't know.
This is domestic.
Domestic.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Yeah, I can see that. Well.
Which is an interesting point because I really don't think we've had any imports yet, have we?
No.
Not a single one. I don't think.
No. Hmm. You're correct.
Your wife hates imports, apparently.
About America.
I mean, now that we're done tasting, out of the two, I definitely prefer B, but as a whole, the two...
We'll go back to A.
Yeah, we always go back, because it always changes your palate when you go back.
After B, A tastes
better.
A little bit
it
better.
It does. That seems to be the case.
Well, I mean, everything's tasting a little better the more beer we drink.
Yes,
of course. I think some of the sweetness from B is kind of carrying over to A.
And that's the problem with A. The aroma's good, but then it's just a letdown. It doesn't have a whole lot of flavor to it.
It's not really standing up.
It's thin.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
brittle.
I would just call it a throwaway beer.
Yeah.
It's just a throwaway beer.
What if you poured A and B together? Would you have the perfect beer?
You could try it. Why don't you try it?
We've done it before, honestly.
Yeah, we did that before.
No,
in another episode,
we did.
But...
Mm-hmm. Let's go back.
I think B is my favorite as well.
Actually. Yeah, B's definitely better. Well, let's get into the actual ratings. We'll start with A. So whoever wants to go first on that one.
A.
Kyle, what would you do? What would you?
It's gonna be low. I mean, I'm struggling to think if it's a 2 or 3.
I'll just go. I'm a pop a 2 on that one. That's what
I'll let Kyle think. I'm gonna jump in with a 4 because I'm new to the podcast and I don't think I'm as harsh as you all yet. So or as jaded maybe. But
we're extreme.
Yeah, we're angry old men.
So I'm gonna be a little kinder. I'm gonna drop a 4 on it, which is my lowest of the day.
Okay.
I am, you guys, I made my decision before you start. I 3 for me. Just because I could see if you pounded enough of these, that horrible aftertaste would go away. Simply because you've drank enough. So I could see after 3 or 4 of these, I wouldn't mind that it tastes so bad.
Well, that gives it an average of 3.
Yep.
So
sounds about right.
That's okay. So how about we move on to B?
I'm going to go right out. Actually, I changed my vote. I'm giving B a 2, just because I really can't get past that sweetness. And I couldn't see myself finishing a pint of that.
So, Kyle, you're going to give B a 2.
Yeah. I'm really surprised, because usually I like sweeter beers, but that is not a good sweet. That's bad.
I want to put it at a 2 as well, honestly. I do.
Yeah, I don't. Mm-mm.
I do.
Nope.
Don't feel pressured by... how curmudgeon we are.
No, I'm gonna put it at 4 as well. I wasn't blown away by either beer, to be honest with you.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
H divided by 3. Okay, so this will be a 2.67. So neither of these beers will defeat the current Master Broverlord, which is the Founder's Breakfast Stout with 6.5 points over average.
Mm-hmm.
A slightly edged B out, which is weird. So you guys ready for the reveal?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Reveal what our beers are.
I'm excited.
So we think they're both domestic. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. All right.
Do you guys want to venture a guess at what they specifically are?
Come on, guess. Because we always do them. We're so wrong, it's not even funny.
Yeah, we kind of quit on
that. I guessed. I thought one was Lagunitas or Dogfish Head, and it actually turned out to be Lagunitas.
Yeah, and so, I guessed Trogs Mad Elf. So,
mm-hmm.
But I was between Mad Elf and Troganator. So.
I think, this might be, this is so hard. I'm going to go Trogs Hopback Gambrel. It's yellow. I'm not even going to try.
I think it's a season. I think it's a cold weather seasonal, but that's about really? As far as, because yeah, that the whole spicy thing kind of.
Oh, for B? Or, no, it's, yeah,
for
B.
A.
For A.
A.
Yeah, I don't see that as a cold weather seasonal. The coloration
It's
because B had the spicy thing going on. I was wrong about that, but A, yeah, I think maybe like a fall beer or something.
Okay, so no other guesses.
Yeah, I don't
it's tough.
We do these guesses and we're always so damn wrong. It's like we're just making ourselves sound like idiots.
How about this? A and B are going to be beers we don't like that much.
Yeah, there's your guess, and that's
just, all right. This is fun.
I'm going to go ahead and reveal B, which was the lowest with 2.67 average. And it is... Oh my god, it's Troganator.
Troganator.
Troganator. Oh man, that's low.
Wow.
You really like that beer, don't you?
You know, I'm good.
I haven't been
like huge on it, but yes, it's a beer that I typically like, so...
You gave it a 2.
The power of not...
That's why I'm glad I'm never going to try that.
That's why blind is best, because you never know, man.
We get to embarrass ourselves.
You're not at all swayed by, you know... I'm assuming you like Trog.
Yes,
a lot.
I actually have a Trog shirt on.
I saw that, yeah.
I do.
The only Trog's beer I like is Flying Mouflon.
Yes, Flying Mouflon is awesome.
Which is wonderful.
We can have that on
God,
the show.
I hope she got some barley wines today. I would love to try one.
You guys ready for A then?
Mm-hmm.
A with an average of 3, which was higher rated. Reach in here. Oh god. That's the Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA.
What?
It's been sitting out for a long time.
60-minute? I had that last night. This doesn't taste anything.
Nothing is what it seems.
This does not taste like 60-minute. I don't care what you say. That is not... I think it's just because it's been sitting out so long. Because I drink 60 all the fucking
right
freaking time.
Yeah, this does not at all taste like 60 minutes.
I think it's because it's been sitting here so long.
Well, you make a real you-know-what out of yourself with this.
Oh, I know. I know. I drink this all the time.
This is your second time where you said it's like one of your favorite beers. And you gave this one a 2 as well. That's just your... That's your... No, you gave it a 3. I'm sorry.
3.
You all need a catchy segment title for this part where you reveal the beers. Something catchy.
If you can give us something, we'll take
think
it.
Think about it.
Just...
Mm-hmm. A little bumper. But, and the funny thing is, though, with that spiel I went in, if you drank enough of these, I think the horrible finish would go away. And I drink pitchers of this stuff all the time.
I don't get the hops in it.
Something's up here.
Yeah, there's
it was sitting out, and that does not taste like... I mean, now that I know that it is 60-minute...
I still can't even see it. I still can't pick it out as 60
minutes. I don't know, man. Oh, that's weird. That really is weird.
It just seems like the flavors that are usually there are so muted.
Yeah, because I'll take my lumps. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that does not taste like 60 minutes to me, even though I know it is.
And the Troganator, you know what? And this, I feel bad that this is what it's come down to. Like, this is what we decided on these beers, because I guarantee you when Rebecca got these and was pouring them, she's like
these
are two awesome beers. They're going to be real psyched.
Mm-hmm. And we, again, gave them 2s and 3s. What are we doing? Oh, we fail at this podcasting thing we do.
There will be a day.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Well,
literally, we were just talking about Dogfish Head in 60 minutes. Jesus.
Yeah, it happens.
I think it's because it's been sitting here for a while. Mine is literally warm, so.
Well, feel good about knowing that Dogfish Head 60 Minute was the winner of this episode.
I don't feel bad about the Troganator because I've never had it, and I don't think it's that great. But I do feel terrible about the 60 Minute because that's a go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a go-to for both of us.
Troganator, thinking back to when I was sniffing the Troganator, and I said there was, like, the banana-iness to it. That makes sense because I've always believed there's this banana-y
Can I look at the bottle real quick?
Yeah, certainly.
And at one point I did say I liked Troganator, but I was really drunk at the time.
It was the only time you've admitted it?
I visited my brother, and I never had it, and he gave it to me, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then I had it again down here, like, a couple weeks later, and I was like, this isn't that good. What was I thinking?
Yeah, well, it has to do with the situation. How much alcohol have you had? What different drinks and have you had? What food have you had? You
know. A similar thing happened with me when a friend of mine and I went to Dogfish Heads. Not the brew pub, but, like, their restaurant ones. You know, mm-hmm. like, not the one in Rehoboth, but the one down in Maryland somewhere. Anyway, and we had Worldwide Stout, but it was the last beer of the night. And it was, like...
Yeah.
It was like a punch in the stomach. It was horrible. So I'd like to try that again just because of the situation.
Let me pose a potential solution to why the 60 Minute tasted the way it did.
It tastes...
Do you think that...
Bad.
The hops were so muted in it because of the amount of vinegar in the kale that you made?
Maybe. But on that, well... Because I did mention it had a bitterness. Remember, it was like that assailing middle of the tongue kind of bitterness.
Yeah, but you weren't getting the hop.
That's true.
The hop citrusiness. Like I didn't get it barely at all, and I feel like it really could be because of the amount of vinegar that was in the kale dish.
Yeah, maybe.
It just kind of like you know. Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I theory.
Say this almost every episode, but the current state of your palate has everything to do with these tastings. Everything to do. What you've eaten, what you're in the mood for, what the weather's like, all that stuff plays into tasting beers, I think.
I also think we've had, you know, we've had a smoked beer, we've had a sour, we've had our tongue has been through the ringer on this podcast, so I think that plays into it as well.
It's all about...
And I don't feel bad about the outcome because the way we're doing this podcast, these are real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're never going to sit down and be like, wait, let me eat some saltines, let me drink some water. I got to make sure that this beer gets, like, 100% clean palate attention. You know, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, just real life situations, you know, it's all good. But, you have one last thing to say?
And then we'll I was just going to say I would be interested if later podcasts way down the road, if you slipped 60 Minute back into the blind taste test, I would venture a guess that it would be higher.
That's interesting.
That could be something.
Beers we claim we like that we've rated low, maybe like
reintroduce.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. See if you can throw us a little curveball. Maybe like, you know, like you said, a couple months, we try, you know, Breakfast Out again. I know it's our current leader, but I know you didn't give it a very high score.
Yeah.
And, Christ, I gave Raging Bitch a 2, and I gave 60 Minute a 3, and I drink these beers all the time.
Yeah,
so,
buddy.
It's like, that'd be interesting. That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, that being said, our next episode, which for the listeners will be posted in a week, but we're actually going to record it within minutes after this. So we're going to continue to snack on these other beers, and Turner will be here. He'll talk about his home brewing endeavors, and stay tuned. Tune in. Thank you very much. Everyone send us correspondence at brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com and go to the website if you don't know it already, which is brutalbattle.com.
Yes, sir.
And it should be on iTunes at some point as well, so you can get it there.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
thank you.
iTunes listeners, beware.
Thank you very much. This is Brutal Battle on our 10th episode, signing out.
We're so happy. Bye, guys.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.